Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Morning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome to Cars Confidential. Oh, is that what we're doing? No, we're not doing that. We're doing Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and this is Windshield View.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I was a little confused there. See, I'm all excited because here in the Volkswagen world, we're talking to one of my heroes. So today we have Mr. Bruce Myers with us, the inventor of the Myers Make 2 Buggy.
That's
How
right.
How you doing, Bruce?
I'm here.
Yeah, you are. We were talking about this just before we got on the air, and Shane actually has one of your Manxes
in his 1971.
Yeah, he's had it forever. Well,
26 years.
You lucky devil. Thank you very much for buying my product.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you buy it from me or did you buy it from someone else?
I bought it from a distributor that had it.
But a distributor?
Yeah, he had it as their showroom model for...
Okay. Well, there was a time when I had a lot of dealers.
Yeah, he has a dealer up here in Washington, and it was the one they used for the store display. And he got to the point where he couldn't drive it anymore, so I worked for him for about a decade, and he said, "Oh, you can have that one."
So, you mean he got so old that he couldn't climb in and out over the side?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
I've had a lot of men walk up to me and say, "I love your car, Bruce, but Thelma couldn't get in and out anymore, so I had to sell it."
That was it.
Well, I'm very interested because, you know, when I was a kid, those things were very, very popular, still are, I'm sure. But, you know, we saw them and thought, oh, man, this would be great. Everybody I knew wanted to have one. And my question is, I actually have two questions. First off, how did you come up with the Manx name? I mean, I know your logo is the cat. Did you have a cat and just decided to go that way? And number two,
no.
What was the initial idea about the design? What made you build it, like with the high step order thing? Was it meant to be all of that?
I'll take you through my feelings.
All right.
I was a guy, I'd spent a lot of years in art schools. I'm an old art student. I got around to actually teaching figure drawing. That's naked ladies, you know.
Yep.
And
we know.
A lot of
and we're fans.
Portraiture. Well, portraiture has to be very accurate.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't accurate, then it isn't a good likeness of the guy you're drawing. So, but with figure drawing, that's all about gesture. It has to look like it's about to move or go somewhere or jump up and down or something. So I carried that into the dune buggy. Now, I was looking around me, and I saw these homemade dune buggies here and there. I didn't invent the dune buggy. I invented the fiberglass dune buggy.
There you go.
But in the process, I had probably a dozen of them around in my experience, and they were all little cars with big wheels, and that says fun right there.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
the first message.
Sure.
And the wheels should peek out at each corner. If you look straight down at each corner, you'll see the tire sticking out. So that's part of the recipe. But they mean more than that to a lot of people. An older man looks back at his youth and he clings to it wantingly, and he does that by hanging on to his dune buggy. The dune buggy is a wonderful gadget to keep the boy from screwing up and falling into the drug scene. Dad saw the boy come out of the bedroom where he smelled the grass, and the boy is holding a dune buggy in a picture in a magazine and says, "Look at the bitch in dune buggy, Dad." Dad saw what he had to do. He went and bought a kit. He bought an old junk Volkswagen, and the boy and he then put themselves together for many, many months or even longer, and they bonded. Now, along the way, Mom picked out the colors. The little kids all won't go to the store in anything else. They don't want to ride in the Pontiac. They want to ride in the dune buggy.
Sure.
It's amazing how the little kids are so attracted. They automatically rush towards it. You know, there's an old story about a guy that was driving around the world in a Myers Mags. He was in South Africa.
Yeah.
He came into a village. The village was a lot of little grass huts, and a lot of little black kids came running out to touch the dune buggy, which was putting slowly through the village. And he collected about 50 kids. At the other end of the village is a checkpoint, and there's a military man standing there with a gun, and he sees these children laughing and happy in this car that looks like nothing like a war machine, and he opens the gate, lets everybody go through, and that was it. The car opened the gate by its looks.
That's a very cool story.
Little story.
Yeah.
It's a nice story because it says what the thing is. It's more emotional, really, than it is anything else.
You know,
especially with children.
Bruce, before you get to the name, when you were talking, I can say that my father bought a kit. It wasn't yours. I think you even seen a picture because I sent it to your wife to show you. But
they were cheaper.
Yep. He just bought one because he probably saw it in the back of a Popular Mechanics or something and just said, I want to buy one. So he purchased that. He brought it home, and it was probably 68, I guess, maybe in that time zone. I was in fifth.
Okay.
It was in fifth grade. I'm 60 now, so I was in fifth grade. And I remember him bringing it home and working on it. And I went out there as a little kid, and I helped him put the fiberglassing on after he had the body put on the chopped VW frame. And
yes.
And he was putting the wiring in there, and I was helping put the boy, you know, I was like, wow, this is resin and all this. And we did that. And I remember helping him out with it. And I was just like, it was so cool. It was a bonding experience for my father and I.
And you are telling an old story.
Yep.
Very, very old, old story. I'm so glad to hear that, because that was more than what I can't imagine how many people, men, have walked up to me to shake my hand to say how he and the boy bonded long ago. The boy is now about 60 years old, and there's the car, and the dad is long gone. He says, that's the car. I'll never sell it.
Yeah.
It's a love affair.
Yeah.
My daughter has actually helped me restore mine now.
There you go.
Yeah, I've had her out there. She helped me make new pans for it, and she's helped build the motor. And
well, see, that's it.
Well, that's great. I guess I didn't know what I was doing, because all I did was reached out with something that would look like fun. I was probably close to Mickey Mouse and the Funnies. When I was a little boy, I loved crawling around on the Funnies on Sunday because they were four color.
Sure.
And Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all those guys, they were driving these funny little cars, little tiny cars with great big wheels, and there was hardly enough room for the people. But it's all right. It was just a vision that I never forgot. And I suppose my art school drawing, I wound up being a teacher eventually of figure drawing. And figure drawing is the most fun because it's all about gesture. Well, when you start making mechanical stuff and you start thinking of gesture, you wonder how to do that. Well, the thing is up in the rear and down in the front, and it's got kind of a nasty look about it in some ways. Other people are attracted to it. I'm not sure why. But whatever I did, I touched the hearts of an awful lot of people. And that don't mean just here. It was created in Newport Beach, Southern California. It crossed oceans. I have a picture of a Myers Banks in front of an Egyptian pyramid. And there's another Myers Banks in front of the Opera House in Sydney, Australia.
Wow.
That's just three continents from each other and two oceans away. But that's not where it ended. It's all over Africa, South America, all over Mexico, of course. I started off road racing, and that's another thing. I've got a book out about that. And just the last two or three days, the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles is doing a big deal with me, and they wanted Old Red, the original Myers Banks, which we've always had for years, and we just delivered it to them, and they're now looking for some way of putting on a show, advertising the dune buggy, and you know, bragging about Bruce Myers, I hope.
Well, you know,
it's all going to happen.
That's very
go
cool.
Ahead.
I have a question. I know that when you first did the body, first one thing I want to say for sure is that they all look like they're moving. They all look like they're just about to do something. So that whole gesture thing you're talking about is true. We got we got some things that we're going to talk about when we come back from the break, but we're just about ready to do that. So if you wouldn't mind, hang on. We got a whole bunch more questions to get to.
And we need to get to that name. So hang on.
We'll get back.
So.
All right. We will have stories. Stay right here. We got more about the Myers-Manx and another story from the old Car Nut book. So don't go away. That and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Well, we're back with the second half of the Windshield View, and before the break, we were talking with Bruce Myers, and I wanted to find out, Brady had asked earlier on, about the name, the Manx. Talk to us how that happened.
All right, that's easy. I was married to Shirley then. She was a beautiful girl. I think I still love her. And she worked at Road and Track magazine. They were just up the hill in Newport Beach, about a half a mile away. And they watched this happen. The guys on their crew, they had 33 people. And the men all came down and saw what I was doing. And so they became kind of interested in the whole thing. But one day Shirley said, well, Bruce is, she goes up into the office and she goes through the 33 people and says, Bruce is looking for a name for that thing he's building. So out of all these very literate people came four times the name Manx. What the hell's a Manx? It's a cat in the Isle of Man, and it's tailless, right. And its butt's up in the air a little bit. It's kind of scruffy looking. And so I came to the office. I was in there quite often. And they said, well, Bruce, we got the name for you. It looks like it's going to be Manx. Now, the engine of that place was Elaine Bond, a tall, stately woman with a lot of sensibilities. And she says, and Bruce, it should be called Myers Manx. I said, now, wait a minute, Elaine. I'm a little bit too shy for that. She said, no, it'll be good for you someday.
You
so
go.
That's the way the name came out. It came out of Road and Track magazine. I had nothing to do with it.
That's actually a great story. And I can see the
connection
with... It
looks like a crouching cat.
Well, it always looked like it was about ready to pounce. And,
yeah.
And it makes perfect sense now that you tell the story. You know, the other question I was going to ask you about the look was, you know, of course, everybody's familiar with the open cabin or the open cockpit one, but you made a couple of other... There was a convertible top that was an option, I think. Was there not a hard top option as well?
Yes, yeah. We've got a lot of that stuff. I've made several offshoots of it. There's the Manxter. The Manxter is a four-place. That's on an unshortened Volkswagen chassis.
Right.
It carries four people. It has a roof that lifts up on gas springs to climb in and out.
Oh, very nice.
it's really good looking. There's another one that we sell more of. That's the Manxter, and it's $2,400. And it turns out that people have junkers, old ones, used buggies of other names, and they come and buy our body because it's cheaper to put a body on and have a real Manx than it is to restore another one that's older.
Oh, I'm sure.
So,
yeah.
You can spend $3,000 or $4,000 repainting and polishing and sanding and wet sanding and all. When all you do is take the body off and come and get one of our kits, which is quickie, and it's because when you're older, you probably have a windshield, you have headlights, taillights, all that other stuff. So this little kit is $2,400, and it's a real Myers Manx, and it's got a big emblem on the nose, and it's in any kind of amazing colors. There's a book of metal flake colors that knock your eye out.
Oh yeah, well, they remind me just a bag full of Skittles. I mean, there's every color you can think of.
There's so many colors, it's too much. It makes a mess out of things. In fact, the whole thing is, You want one, but you're not sure what to do. Well, finally, you take the color chip and you go home, and your wife or mom and the kids all figure out what the hell the color is. That's the way that usually works out.
Well, it's interesting because your my dad had the metallic red, but the red one was featured in a Steve McQueen movie, was it not?
Well, of course, Steve McQueen. Well, that was a dealer of mine in Burbank. His name was Pete Kondos, and he was a guy that dealt with the movies a lot, and Steve McQueen knew him, and so he ordered one, a red one, and then Steve McQueen did a lot of messing around with it and changed the look of things and had a wraparound windshield and a Corvair motor and all that. It was used in a movie, The Thomas Crown Affair.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
The original has just been found in Hawaii and restored, and it's over here right now in our country, and they're messing around trying to figure out what it's going to bring in dollars. I guess it'll be going to auctions or something.
Sure.
I made another copy of that, and I sold it about 6 or 8 months ago. Anyway, yeah, the Steve McQueen car was always a Thomas Crown car, they call it. It was quite popular. Of course, Steve McQueen was the guy that made it so popular. It wasn't Bruce Myers.
Well, but did that help out with sales when that thing came out?
Oh, sure. You see, I had a company that had 70 people. It made 25 kits a day.
Wow.
I had 240 or 50 dealers all across the United States and across the oceans. And then I was attacked by a guy that said I copied him. I don't know how you copy when you're making something out of fiberglass, and I was supposed to have copied his wooden one. Well, as it turns out, I lost my patent in the courtroom to a very, I'm going to say, a crappy lawyer.
Yep.
The way I didn't have a jury trial. I had a judge trial. And this lawyer said, now, Your Honor, you'll see that our car has four wheels and a Volkswagen engine in the rear. Is that not similar? And the judge has to agree. And then he says, our car also has a sloping hood and a windshield. Is that not similar? And the judge agrees. And they did it for 3 days. It's got two headlights. It's got two seats. It's got a steering wheel. All that's the way I lost my patent.
That's
and
crazy.
I'm a dumb kid. I was 42 years old. I hadn't grown up yet. I sat there wondering, what the hell's going on? My own lawyer was a boy that had never been in a courtroom.
Well.
I lost to a stupid... I shouldn't have done it. I should have gone back and gotten a jury trial and put it back together.
Sure.
But I didn't. And so the door is shut. And that lawyer sent 70 people home from their jobs. And now the press said Myers has lost his patent. And here we go. The world turned to copiers. So there's over 250 or maybe 300 copiers.
Yeah.
But that's normal because it's cheaper. And most of them don't know what the hell business is all about. They're selling them sometimes for less of their costs. So, you know, it was just a natural something that was so beautifully accepted by the emotional people because it looks like fun. It says adventure. It says youth. It says everything that you want to be if you're not, and so you got to get one. And that's the way it went. So I wound up getting so pissed at the world of the way the copiers took over and ran off with the whole thing. Across the oceans, I was invited to France in 1994 at the 25th anniversary of the Dune Buggy on the shores of Europe.
Yeah.
And my host was Jackie Morel, a French publisher of car magazines. And they had Le Mans Racetrack, 1,100 Volkswagens, 200 or 300 plastic Dune Buggies. And he says, I want you to lead a parade around Le Mans Racetrack with my Myers bags. He's got sitting there. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to use a bad word. I'm not leading those anywhere. You put me out of business. And so
that's funny.
He says, wait a minute, you're still angry? How long has it been? 24 years. And you're angry? Do you know what you're doing? You know that there's a chemical in your body that will cause you to die sooner because anger makes it erupt and it hurts you? He says, you've got to stop doing this. You've got to find something positive about this. I said, what's positive about all those things? He says, the two smiling faces in every dune buggy, they don't give a damn. Half the people that screwed you are gone. The other half don't care. He said, but just think of the two happy people, the kids in the seats. And he turned my head. He says, go home and start a club and open it to all your enemies. And I did. That's the Banks Club. And it's got over 6,000 members, and life changed. He says, go home and start a club, write a book, build the Manx of the 90s. I've done all that stuff, and the book is, we're working on it right now. There's a third book. So anyway, that was my turnaround story. It made me a happy
awesome.
Man again.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
it is.
And, tell and me, Bruce, tell me about the Toad. How did that come about?
I was a part of a thing called Saddleback Park. It's a motorcycle park.
Right, yeah, I know where that is. Yeah.
And I found myself playing with motorcycles a lot. going out in the deserts on the weekends with family, mom and dad, the kids. And I found that the men would get up before dawn and say, "We're going over to that Purple Mountain. We'll be back before breakfast." And they would do this, and then everybody'd have a family ride. Well, the young boys try to keep up with the men, and everybody else trails behind, and mom is in the very rear, and she falls down a lot. And you go back and help mom and straighten her handlebars and wipe the blood off her elbow and pat her on the ass, and here we go again. I got to feeling sadly about that because I knew what they were doing. They were simply with their family because they want to be out in the country in the open air and all that. They didn't really much give it about riding motorcycles. But so I designed, why don't we get something that's really simple? The Toad was so simple, it's just a big hairpin of tubing.
Yeah.
And I have a dear friend that was Ted Mangles. He's an engineer, and I phoned him up. I said, "I'm going to hook a front end of a Volkswagen and the rear trail of a Volkswagen." That's the torsion bars and the tranny and the engine. And he says, "And you're going to run this one tube around like a big hairpin?" I said, "Yes." He says, "What is the weight of the front?" 350 pounds on tires. "How about the back?" 780 pounds or something. And he says, "What's the distance from the rear to the front?" I told him, "I'll be back to you in 10 minutes. And he phoned me up, and that was Ted's. Says it has to be 2.5 inches OD, 120 wall, mild steel, and it shouldn't break. And that's the answer. And I built the Toad mainly for females. So it never had a hood, didn't have a body. It just had a little piece of fiberglass for two seats, kind of like a hammock in between this big piece of tubing, and a little roll bar perched on it. And it became so popular that everybody wanted one, and because they were so darling, and put seats on it, put fenders and hoods and windshields. And so I had to do all that crap. But that's how the Toad became today. A thousand of them are out there without ever a complaint of failure of the frame.
They were a great little vehicle. My friend, I remember well, lusting after one of those when I first saw them. 71, it was about 71?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. The other one I was really wanting one.
In the late 60s that I created it.
Yeah. Well, that's about it. See, I would have been
out of business about the almost 70.
Yeah. See, 71, I would have been 21, so I saw it and I thought, I got to have one of these. The other one I was curious about was the SR2. That was kind of a...
The SR is a sports car. I wanted to have a full menu.
Yeah.
And the sports car was designed by Stuart Reed, a very fine designer.
Well, hence
he came to work for me as a boy. He was 19 or 20 years old, and he worked at my shop, and I created the way it was made, but he designed it, and that's an SR. It stands for Street Roadster, but it also stands for Stuart Reed.
Sure.
But the SR is quite a nice car, and we didn't make more than a few hundred of them, and today they're being collected and restored, and everybody's happy, and Stuart can't believe it. And I see Stuart all the time. He's
great.
In charge of the automotive segment of the Art Center School in Pasadena.
Oh, great! Okay,
which is the Art Center School is a design school for most companies. They've all come here. They're all in California.
Yes,
I mean every one of there's Honda, there's Mercedes Benz, there's Audi. They're all here because of the Dune Boogie. That showed them there's something happening in California. It's a cultural thing about fun, outdoors in the sun, the beach community, all that stuff. And the Manx is claimed to be the car that started that whole movement. Today there's 22 or 3 studios, I believe, in California from all the companies, the manufacturers of all cars of the world.
Wow. You know, you think about
You
think about the fact that you had a tragedy in the sense of your business fail, not because of you, but then you think of the fact that, as your friend over there in Europe said in 94, put a smile on it, turn around, and look at what you have. And now you look at you as an individual have transformed the auto industry and in the design of the auto industry for the past 10, 20, 30 years. And that's,
you're going to make me cry.
I mean, that is an amazing thing. And I always say, I've been writing a lot about what can you do to change the world. And a lot of times it starts with changing yourself and having a different perspective. And when you do, you look at what you did and you go, I had no idea this would end this way. And so Bruce, I mean, what an amazing feat.
Well, you know, right now they're celebrating just what you were talking about at the Peterson in L.A. Just last week, we took Old Red, that's the original Myers-Briggs, which is all restored and beautiful, and they won it for a whole year. And they wanted a picture of me, of course. And the car is now in the Library of Congress of only a handful of cars. And they are making a big deal out of the Myers-Briggs. And right now, Volkswagen Company has come to realize that I'm the guy that started all that. So they've been messing around with us. Winnie and I go to New York, and then we went up to Monterey Car Week with all Volkswagen gang that bills. And and they have a dune buggy they made that's electric.
Yes,
and
we.
They want to know what I think of it, and I don't think much of it.
Well, Bruce, I need to butt in here for a second. I hate to do this, but we are going to have to bring you back on. We are running out of our time. We got about 10 seconds.
I have a lot of stories.
Yes. Thanks so much for being on the show with us. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful time, and we will be in touch.
You're welcome.
Yes, thanks,
and I'm glad to tell you all this stuff because of that feeling that you have that I created so much. Thank you very much. That's a nice thing to say.
Pleasure to have you, Bruce.
I'm not rich.
Thank you, Bruce.
That's going to do it for us. That music means we are out of here. Thanks to Bruce Myers for telling us all about the Myers-Briggs. Over a million listeners joined us as we Googled tonight. Shane Osborne's here, Steve Johann too. I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, and your face right up next to the windshield, because next week we do this again in spite of threats to not do it. This is Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
See you later.